Today we see matzah as a uniquely Jewish form of food, but the truth was the exact opposite. It was not that only Israelites ate unleavened bread. It was that unleavened bread was profoundly un-Egyptian. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 99, The Food of the Faithful Journey. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
One of the most unusual and elaborate books about food that I have ever read was composed by an author named Heinrich Eduard Jacob. He was apparently a sort of polymath and journalist that was born in Germany. His over 40 books include biographies of composers. He was known for his love of culture. But apparently, what he loved above all was bread. As he reported, he had as a boy encountered grain, wheat, in the office of his uncle, who sold it, and he became fascinated with the phenomenon of leavening and of fermentation. It was in 1920 that Jacob met a well-known scientist, a botanist, in Europe, and he inquired of said scientist whether that individual could compose a book about bread's history. The botanist, however, told Jacob that it should be him that should write it. And Jacob ultimately gave us this book about bread's history, but only after he researched the subject for around 40 years. In the book, Jacob tells us that in most of the Middle East, it was not the practice to leave dough and allow it to rise. In fact, he argues that the fermentation process that is so central to the development of bread today was seen by those that lived in the ancient age as a sign of spoilage. Here are a few selected sentences from the book. Jacob writes, quote, "Porridges and flatbreads, flatbreads and porridge remained the menu for many centuries." And then he adds, a bit after, "While all other peoples feared lest their food decay, the Egyptians set aside their dough until it decayed and observed with pleasure the process that took place. This process was fermentation. Though fermentation has been known for thousands of years, its nature remained a mystery until the advent of modern chemistry. The air contains numberless bacteria waiting for nourishment, waiting for prey." And he adds a bit after, "Spores of yeast plants fell upon the traces of sugar contained in the mixture of Nile water and meal," end quote. In other words, Jacob argues, it was in Egypt that leavened bread truly came into being. And he adds that, quote, "The Egyptians observed only the consequences, that when they baked their sourdough, the resultant product was wholly different from anything that had been hitherto known," end quote. Based on the writings of historians and food researchers, it would seem that leavened bread would have come into being in Egypt somewhat around the time that the family of Israel, the family of Jacob, arrived in that very land. Leavened bread was uniquely Egyptian, a mark of its culture. We will discuss this further as we consider the prohibitions on leaven and leavening agents over Passover. For now, we continue our own analysis of the Paschal offering by pondering the fact that in the midst of an empire known for its leaven, the people of Israel are specifically instructed to eat of the Passover offering with bread that is unleavened, with bread that was eaten by those outside Egypt, and to eat it along with another ingredient, which will also be discussed in a forthcoming lecture, maror, bitter herbs. According to the Talmud, while even a Seder that lacks the lamb or goat that is supposed to be the centerpiece of the celebration, the offering for which the very holiday Pesach is named, nevertheless, the ideal is for the ingestion of matzah, unleavened bread, to be part and parcel of the Paschal performance. Hence the explicit instructions in Exodus regarding the offering eaten on the eve of liberation. U'matzot al merorim yochlu, with matzah, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs, it shall be eaten. This aspect of the mitzvah can only be understood if we realize, with Jacob and other writers, how profoundly Egyptian leavened bread was. Today we see matzah as a uniquely Jewish form of food, but the truth was the exact opposite. It was not that only Israelites ate unleavened bread. It was that unleavened bread was profoundly un-Egyptian. And the long-suffering slaves of Israel would have seen in this obligation regarding the rituals of the evening a sublime symbol of what was yet to be, a symbol that was enhanced by the joining of the bread with the taking of a sheep or goat prior to Passover itself. The botanist Tova Dickstein tells us the following. Egyptians were farmers, each person permanently connected to his own tract of land. The Hebrews, on the other hand, were nomadic shepherds. And she adds, the Egyptians reserved a special loathing for shepherds, dubbing them looters, plunderers, habiru, end quote. This word habiru, as Dickstein further points out, a name that picks out nomads, may be linked to the term Hebrews. And it is unquestionable that the nomadic life of shepherding set Jacob's family apart in Egypt. Thus, we are informed from the get-go that the Hebrews were seen in Joseph's court with suspicion, and Joseph himself informs his father that Toavat Mitzrayim kol ro'eh tzon, every shepherd is abominable to Egypt. As Dickstein further notes, Egypt is a society focused on permanence, aboard any aspect of a lifestyle that revolved around journeys. All this means that when Israel was commanded, Mishchu kuchu lachem tzon, extend your hands and take from the flock to prepare the Pesach, they would have found a reminder of the shepherding ways of Abraham, and when they were further instructed to take of that offering and eat it with the bread of nomads, they would have understood the sublime symbolism. A joining of food and faith, for what they were being told, was nothing less than that the journey of Abraham was to begin again, just as their ancestor of old had faithfully followed his God from Mesopotamia to the Holy Land. So too they would be leaving from a very different land, but seeking the very same holy location. I cite often the remarkable account of Joseph Joel, who served as a soldier in the Union Army. Joel, who was from Ohio, wrote of the Seder celebration that he and his fellow Jews marked in the woods of West Virginia. The matzah arrived, he tells us, in barrels. As he writes of the sutler, the one whose responsibility it was to provide for the troops, quote, our next business was to find some suitable person to proceed to Cincinnati, Ohio, to buy us matzos. Our sutler, being a co-religionist and going home to that city, readily undertook to send them. We were anxiously awaiting to receive our matzos, and about the middle of the morning of Erev Pesach, a supply train arrived in camp, and to our delight, 7 barrels of matzos. On opening them, we were surprised and pleased to find that our thoughtful sutler had enclosed 2 Haggadahs and prayer books. Matzahs arriving on a train from Cincinnati to West Virginia. The matzah is the food of faith and the bread of journey. And as the Israelites sat in their homes in Egypt and prepared for the travels of Abraham to resume, they could surely scarcely imagine the many roads that matzah would take. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.